This episode of What the Tech is brought to you by Slack. Slack is a messaging app which brings together all your team's communication into one place, making work simpler and more productive. Go to slack.com to learn more. Harry's. Stop messing around and get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your free trial offer. $13 value for free, just covered a shipping by going to harrys.com/whatthetech.
What the Tech?
Hey everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Agent Stan. Of course, I'm joined by Paul Theriot. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
Last week, did not have a show. You either forgot to tell me, or I forgot that you told me, and we can't remember which one of those.
Well, I mean, Yeah, right. That morning I woke up and I was like, oh, crap. The problem was I had, like, this thing was scheduled months in advance, but I, in the interim, had gotten that New York trip thing happening, and then it was just back to back. Like, I got home from New York the night before and then left in the morning. And it was just one of those.
You actually did tell me. You did tell me, but you messaged the wrong Andrew Zarian.
Yeah.
I have multiple Skype accounts.
Yep.
For many, many reasons. But I have like 10 different Skype accounts and you messaged the wrong one.
Well, I have the one that, I don't know. Like, I usually just, I have you in my favorites or whatever.
Aw.
But sometimes, you know, it switches to, what's the view called? Recents or whatever. And maybe I contacted the one in Recents or something. I don't know. I have no idea why. I don't know. Maybe I have the wrong one in Favorites.
I don't know. It could be whatever it is. It's fine. But we are here today, guys, and we do have a lot to talk about. You know, our last show 2 weeks ago was critically acclaimed.
Really?
Yeah. People really, really liked it. The feedback was remarkable. I mean, so much on Twitter, on YouTube, on Facebook. I mean, the emails that I got were, it was amazing. So people really enjoyed it, and they told me, you really should drink.
Yeah, drink more, Andrew. That's
you should really drink more. And so I am going to do that. I am going to drink more. I'm going to have some wine in a very inappropriate glass for the wine, but this is what I had. So I'm going to drink this while we do the show, and let's see how this goes. It could be total garbage, and we just had a good day, or we do another home run, so we'll find out what happens. We do have a lot to talk about. I still want to talk about my search for an Android phone and a lot of the viewer feedback I've gotten over this, because it's polarizing on the Android side on as to what device to buy. We're going to revisit the iPhone conversation. The iPhone 10 will be pre-orders start, I think, next Friday.
It's coming up.
Right? That's happening. iPhone 8 sales, depending on who you ask and what blog you read, it's doing great or it's doing terrible. I was on, and before I go, I got to do a live read.
I bet they're terrible.
But I got to do a live read. But before I do, I was reading one of these Apple sites, okay? I'm not going to say what it is. And literally two posts removed from each other. One was iPhone 7 sales outperforming iPhone 8 sales. The other one was iPhone 8 sales performing better than expected.
Sure. Well, both of those could be true, I guess.
I guess, assuming
you thought the iPhone 8 sales were going to be terrible, which I did.
It's amazing how you could spin the story. But iPhone 8 sales are not great. They're saying it might be one of the worst, like least selling iPhones in recent times. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, Apple fans are going to be able to paint themselves out of this corner by saying that Apple did this on purpose. They knew that the iPhone 10 was going to impact iPhone 8 sales. It's okay. It's all by design. But it you know, from a timing perspective, it's a little bit tough, you know. We'll see. We'll see. But I think that this is going to be the first time that an iPhone version undersold its predecessor in the opening quarter. Yeah,
it'll be very interesting. So we have all this and a whole lot more. And also, I want to talk about Andromeda, which is I got a lot of
messages. May or may not be a thing.
May or may not be a thing. And obviously, I want to talk about the Windows 10 ARM laptop battery life. That information spread upon this, and obviously Surface stuff too. So much to talk about. So I want to get through all this, but I do want to take a moment and talk about our sponsor, and that's Slack. Guys, I don't know if you know this, but I got a job. It started off as a very very small consulting job, and then it became more demanding, and then it became a full-time thing, and now I'm leading a marketing division of a company. So this is what I've been doing. Paul's been living through this with me, and that's why we're not doing shows on Tuesdays anymore. That's why we're doing Thursdays. But something that I'm in charge of at this is communication amongst other departments, between my department, the marketing department, and getting it down to operations and every other, you know, promotions and every other department that we have. But an ongoing problem, and this is something that happens in many, many companies, is getting the message across and getting everybody united and organized with what's happening and what you're doing. So in the search, and it just so happened that I started using Slack about 3 months ago, in the search of finding services that I could do this, I discovered Slack, and they happen to be taking ads out now. So it's funny how that always happens. With Slack, you could easily communicate amongst different departments. You could connect to tools and services that you need, such as Google Drive and many other services. They have over, I believe, 1,000 applications that you could put in, from Salesforce to Zendesk to Google Drive. No more searching through emails, which has been a huge help for me. No more searching through emails to find that right image for that right week. Everything, you could do video chat, you could do voice, you could transfer files amongst different groups. It's an unbelievable tool for you and your company. If you want to try it out, this is the great thing. Just go to slack.com. Just go to slack.com and you could try them out. Slack, where work happens. To find out more, go to slack.com. I want to thank Slack for supporting What the Tech and, of course, supporting the GFK Network. This is a great tool. Obviously, just go check it out. Just go to slack.com right now and check it out and see if this is something that you could use. This was a major problem for my company, and we've done it. By the way, you could use the mobile app also. iOS and Android syncs seamlessly. So easy breezy. Paul, yes. Let's see. Where do we begin? You know what? Let's talk about Windows 10 ARM.
Okay.
Windows 10 ARM on laptops, supposedly capable of doing 2 days of battery life.
Yeah, multi-day. I'm not sure.
Multi-day.
That's.
I heard by multi-day they meant anywhere from 24 to 48 hours. So it could be like 30 hours of battery life. Still remarkable.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep. And I think that's the value prop on ARM, right?
You know, why? In thinking about this, right? Before I start bombarding you with these questions, the first thing, when I read that title, you know what came to mind? The iPad 2. Or even the original iPad. I remember when I got that first iPad, I did not anticipate the battery life to be so good.
Oh,
on a device with a large, you know, large display and all this stuff. I never anticipated that for the battery to be so good, but it was remarkable. I mean, it really was at the time something that you really weren't used to getting tremendous battery life on a device like that. With moderate usage, you could go a couple days without charging this thing. Still current iPads, my iPad Pro, I charge once a week. So Windows 10 ARM laptops to possibly have multiple, you know, multi-day battery life. This is a very interesting topic, and this could be a changing force in how the PC market is going.
Yeah. I this ties really neatly into the discussions we've had around Chromebooks, where, you know, the notion of these devices is that more and more people just don't need to use a full-size keyboard, big screen, you know, productivity software on a laptop-type device. A lot of people can get a lot of their work done on a smartphone in particular, but sometimes also a tablet. And so the notion of a Windows laptop now that can have multi-day battery life is really interesting, because it kind of places Windows into this new world, right? Where, you know, it's kind of an accessory device. People like you, because of what you do for a living, and people like me, because of what I do for a living, you know, need to be on computers all day long. And so we, you know, may or may not benefit as much from this kind of thing, but you know, for most of the world, where the phone is kind of the center of the experience now, this relegates is kind of a tough word, but it kind of puts Windows in the correct place.
Yeah,
of where it is, and it's a smart move.
Is this a return of Windows Mobile?
You know? No, it's full Windows, right?
I mean, it's full Windows, but I mean, you talk about mobility. ARM on a Windows based laptop. That is true Windows mobility, when you could get 2 days without having
a
card
system.
Yeah,
no, it's very interesting. I mean, so there are questions around Windows and ARM, especially around whether it's going to deliver the performance that we come to expect on Intel-based devices, especially with traditional productivity apps like Microsoft Office or whatever. It's going to run x86 apps, and so we're going to have to see what that trade-off is like. But it's interesting because this is still full Windows. And so if you think about something like Windows 10S running on x86 where you can't run desktop applications, you know, what would you rather have? Something that has like multi-day battery life that may run those desktop applications a little more slowly than a real, a real Windows computer, a real Intel-based computer.
But what kind of applications?
But can run them.
Yeah, okay. So great starting point, right? Like, what kind of applications are we talking about, right? Are we talking about Photoshop? Are we going to attempt?
Yeah, everything.
Fine. That's still a small fraction of people. But when you're using your Twitter application, you're using your web browser, you're using your email client, you're using Office, I'm trying to Chrome. I'm just looking down on my bar right now. I'm using some Instagram tools, which are pretty they're not what most people use. Generally, the stuff that I do is in a web browser. How affected will I be by the fact that this is an ARM-based computer? Really, other than Skype and a messaging service or whatever, it's really not going to be high-demanding software that I'm using, you know, PC, CPU intensive software, other than a Photoshop or a video editor, which
we'll see, right? I mean, you got to right. So for the most part, that's true. That's true. But most people don't use that stuff. So Microsoft Office actually will run natively on ARM, so that should be okay. And I think we've just satisfied the needs of most people right there, right? So the thing to compare this to is the experience you had with your Samsung phone. We used to walk around with this portable charger that was kind of permanently latched onto the side of the phone, because you were always worried you're going to run out of battery life.
Here it is.
And then you went to the iPhone.
Never
carried
it.
And you're like, I don't have to think about this anymore. The iPhone, the battery works great. It lasts all day. It's not a problem. Yeah. And that's what ARM is potentially going to offer to the PC space, that same ability that you could go into the city for a day with your laptop and don't worry about bringing the charger. You're not going to need it.
Yeah, right now, you know what's interesting? I've started doing that a lot more with this MacBook Pro. The 15-inch one that I have, it's much better than the 2016 to 2017 model, but it's gotten so wonky, And my theory is that these devices, this new generation of MacBooks, are not intended to be mobile devices. These are, they're static. You put them where they're supposed to be. And
you carry them somewhere and leave them.
You know
where
you carry them? To your bedroom or to your living room. You don't travel with them. They're not. I think that might be part of the problem here that a lot of people are encountering, but that's a whole different discussion. But you're right. It's a very good feeling to not be tethered. And with these ARM devices, it's a very good possibility that you no longer need to be tethered. You charge once every 2 days, you leave it overnight, and you take it and you go.
Yeah.
What do we know about, like, when are we going to start seeing the Windows 10 ARM-based laptops starting to come to the market in a, is it going to be an aggressive campaign by the OEMs?
No, not right away. I mean, the first devices are still expected this year. Qualcomm's having an event in early December, which I'm actually going to go to, by the way. And I would assume that's where they get launched. This event is for very specifically for these chips that are going to be in these products and about Windows 10 and ARM. So I think this is going to be the launch. Now, that's really late in the season, so it's not like it's going to be a big holiday event as far as the sales of these devices. But CES is less than a month later, and that would be the obvious launching point for the big push.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be a big push.
I'm sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, Microsoft has the ability now to market these things side by side with Intel chips. It's not coincidental that Intel just switched all of their laptop chips over to quad-core. Right. Yeah. So what their advantage is going to be is those workloads you're talking about, the people who need it for Photoshop, the people who do video editing, the people who want to play games. It's the things that are uniquely awesome about the PC are always going to, well, not always, but well, you know, for the short term, will always be better on the Intel side. And so you can choose power with good battery life. And by the way, some Intel systems get good battery life. I mean,
Very good
battery life.
Yeah.
Or the ultimate in mobility, which is going to be the ARM stuff, with good performance, probably. I mean, we're going to find out.
So I know that Asus, Lenovo, and HP will most likely be the first ones to start pushing these out. later in the year. Well, now, right? We are later in the year. So soon. Q1.
Yep.
But this is something I was thinking about while doing some research on this. You know, about a year ago, a lot of these Chinese manufacturers, these no-name companies, started reaching out to you and I about doing reviews of their laptops. And a lot of them were, you know, Mac clones and yep. Frankenstein machines where it was part Dell and part Lenovo. And, you know, like that one that I got. It's a Yoga and it's a Dell in one. I mean, it's really crazy, a bizarre. Yeah. Even down to the camera being on the bottom, which is so bizarre. So I started getting these devices and I started playing around with it. And, you know, I checked to see a lot of people messaged me and they said, well, sometimes, you know, it's dirt cheap, by the way. These are like $125 laptops or $200 laptops.
Yep.
And they look great. But some of the comments that I got were, you know, they don't use authentic Windows 10 licenses or they don't use this. Yeah. And I checked everything. And this one company, which I discussed a year ago, which I forgot, it was all authentic. Everything was fine. Everything was on the up and up. But the battery life was terrible, and it kind of felt cheap because they put
it's a home machine.
They put an Atom processor in there, and that's a crappy chip. But now with Windows 10 running on ARM, those $100 laptops and $125 laptops could possibly make a strong aggressive trend even in the States. Because you're running full-on Windows, and you're getting good battery life, and you're not really compromising as much as you would with an Intel Atom processor. Just something, I mean, I was just thinking about this, and I thought, well, you know, that's really interesting to see if we start seeing more of those type devices.
I mentioned the phone thing, but it's not just the phone thing. You know, if you use an Apple Watch, for example, you have to charge that thing every single day. I use a Fitbit. I have to charge it once a week, you know. And there's a really nice thing that happens when you don't have to think about this kind of stuff. And for a lot of people, that's going to be really nice. Like you mentioned your iPad Pro. I also use an iPad Pro. I just use it to read, basically. It was kind of a failed productivity experiment, but I read the paper on it every morning. And every once in a while, I'll look at it and be like, oh, it's got like 23% battery life. I guess I have to charge it. And I can't even remember the last time I charged it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not using it that much. I mean, but I use it every day. Just not that much. And that's nice. You know, it's just a nice thing, like when you don't have to always worry about it. And I think they're going to, I think AMD, or AMD, yeah. I think ARM, Qualcomm in particular, is going to really kind of turn the PC industry on its head with this. I think this is going to trigger
a very interesting change. You think it's going to be the convenience?
The battery life and the connectivity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the other part of it, right? That when you know, you don't ever think about, we're so used to this, we stop thinking about it. But, you know, with a smartphone, you're connected all the time. You don't think about it. It's weird when you're not, you know. It's weird when you go to do something on the phone and it's like, it doesn't have a connection. You're like, wait, what? Like, it's out of place. I think bringing that capability to the PC, you know, which granted won't be unique to ARM, but I think it's also going to have a big repercussions on Intel in particular.
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting 2018 may, you know, we always talk about that, like that 1 year. I think 2011 was a huge year for technology and advances and leaps with the iPad and the iPhones advancing and just the way that the PC market was headed, because it's all PCs essentially at this point, right? 2018 may become one of those years where a lot of change would happen. You've seen the outcry of negativity towards Apple in 2017.
Yeah, you know, first time.
First time in listen, as a Mac user for a decade, I use PCs as much as I use Macs, but I've been, my personal laptop has been an Apple product. It's been a MacBook. I'm turning on this company.
Yeah.
And I've never been overly critical and emotional about technology. And I've always said, I will leave when it no longer meets my needs, and it is no longer meeting my needs with the nonsense. I'm having kernel panics again. Why? Why?
So I would say I have and will continue to be emotional about this stuff.
You'd be emotional for me.
Yeah. No, I mean, I sort of kind of preach to people that they need to not be like that, right? That you need to make the decisions that are right for you, and you should do that pragmatically. Don't buy into brands, you know. Do the right thing or whatever. But, you know, and it may be an interesting coincidence. after using the iPhone for the past few years, you know, even before these devices were announced, and based purely on the very accurate rumors that were available ahead of time, I realized like I need to walk away from this stuff. Yeah. Like it's just not super interesting to me. And you can't feign excitement and interest in something that's boring, you know. And that's kind of where iPhone's at in particular. You know, the Mac stuff has never been particular. I've always liked the hardware, but I just don't care about Mac OS X. And I never really have. Like I've always felt like I should, but I just don't.
Shockingly, I really like the operating system.
Yeah, I don't care for it.
I like the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
You know, where the Photos app works pretty decent. Everything works pretty decent and it gets the
job done.
That sounds great. Everything is fine. Yeah, actually, the Photos app.
Well, let me tell you something, Andrew. By comparison, Windows 10 is a roller coaster. And every day you wake up and something goofy has changed. Like this morning we woke up and discovered that the mail and calendar apps have been updated. So now there's all these see-through effects and everything. And it's like walking in the dark and getting randomly punched in the face. It's fun. You should try it.
Yeah, I fractured my shin. I don't know if I told you this. I had hairline fractures all over my shin because I fell over cabinets that were left in my wife's closet in the middle of the night. We were doing work, and I fell, and it really messed up my leg. It's almost like that. You don't know what you're walking into. You always have to turn the lights on.
Right.
By the way, I've had a terrible experience with Fall Creator Update on two of my machines.
Wow.
On two AMD machines. It's been a nightmare. So we'll talk about that next week. We have so much to talk about today. But this is very interesting. So 2018 may be a humongous year for change and different people switching sides and a lot of that. And that kind of ties into the next conversation here. But before we go into it, I want to take a moment and talk about our sponsor. And that's Harry's. Guys, I have been using a Harry's razor for, God. Paul, how long have you been using a Harry's razor? A couple years now, right?
Well, as you can see, not this week.
Not this week.
But, at least a couple years.
Yeah. People always tell me, they go, how do you do a razor ad with having a beard? And I say, well, you don't think this is maintained? You think my beard just grows in looking like a cartoon?
Sure.
I really, have you seen those barbering videos? They all have my beard now. If you ever go on Instagram, you see people do like, it's always like an Arab teenager with my beard. That's the look I'm going for here. Guys, I absolutely love Harry's. And the reason why I love him is because I stopped buying cheapo disposable razors. I was a big fan of what this one company of disposable razors, and I was using them for, God, since I was like 14, because my friend told me it's a super thin blade. I don't want to name the company. A super thin blade, and you can kind of like shape everything up, and you're not going to – it's not aggressive on your skin. And then I decided I was going to go to these mock razors, you know, the multi-blade razors, big-name products. They treat you like a criminal when you go, and it's locked up. You got to wait till someone opens it up, and you're spending an arm and a leg on this thing. And I was buying those for a little bit, and every time I did it, my face was tearing apart. So when Harry's decided to advertise with us and they sent me a razor, I was a little reluctant to actually use the product. Because I've used these, you know, multi-blade razors and I've never had a great experience with them. And then I tried Harry's and totally changed everything on me. This is what I use. I don't shave that often, so my blade lasts a while because these are very high-grade steel that they use. The quality is very high quality. And I've used one cartridge, I guess, one blade for quite some time. So here's a great offer they have for you. You get your free trial set. All you got to do is pay for the shipping costs. It includes the razor handle, the 5-blade cartridge, and the shaving gel by going to harrys.com/whatthetech. That's harrys.com/whatthetech. You could go there and get your Harry's razor. Great gift for anybody in your family, for yourself. Christmas is coming up. All the holidays are coming up. You could get this for your father, your brother, even your sister, if you want to. By the way, it's a lightweight, ergonomic razor handle. It's weighted, but it feels great in your hand. 5 precision engineered blades with the lubricating strip, and you get the shaving gel and the travel blade cover. Go to harrys.com/whatthetech. You go there. Also, by the way, they bought their own German factory. This is how dedicated this company is. They bought their own German factory with over 100 years of blade making experience to ensure the highest quality. It really is an unbelievable product. Harrys.com/whatthetech. Go check them out and tweet them and let them know you heard about it on the show. Paul, can we talk about Fall Creator Update?
Yes, we can.
I have not had a good experience doing this update. Now, I have not done it on my higher-end machines. I have not done it on my laptop yet, and I have not done it on my production machines. I'm waiting.
Okay.
But I have had problems on my not-so-new, you know, Skype machines.
Yeah.
What's going on with this? So what can people expect? You know, not everybody has this update. They could force an update, obviously, right? There's a way to do it. What is your opinion of this? I know you've been using it for a while, so let's touch on this really quickly.
Honestly, so far, the two things that stand out are the speed at which this thing is rolling out to people. Remember, in the last version, it was super slow.
Very slow.
And then I would say I haven't heard a lot of the complaints like that you've just raised, which I normally, when there are issues, you know, you hear about them a lot. I mean, the biggest issue I've heard so far on the Fall Creators update is that people can't find OneDrive files on demand, which in fact I couldn't find either at first. Microsoft had to point me to the way you enable it, which is a little non-intuitive because the way you enable it was something that used to trigger like gigabytes and gigabytes of downloads to your computer, and it's completely different now. But as far as unreliable, you know, reliability issues, I guess they call them, not unreliable issues. No, not a lot, not so far. I mean, it's only been a couple of days, but you know, usually you get the shit show right up front, and it hasn't really been like that so far.
So if you have not really been following technology or living under a rock, what are the main features that someone will expect, should expect with Fall Creator Update?
Well, you know, it's funny. Most Windows 10 feature updates are big deals that you kind of install them and you're like, I don't quite see what all the big deals are because there's a lot of stuff, but they're kind of hard to find. So the previous release, I would say, was kind of a minor one, but I actually think this one's kind of a major deal. And I think that regardless of what you're interested in and what you need to do every day, there's going to be something in there that's important for you. And I also think that this one, unlike the last release, actually lives up to the Creators Update name in that there's a lot of stuff in there for creators, right? And so I mentioned OneDrive files on demand, but there's the Windows Mixed Reality platform is now available to end users. There are mixed reality headsets. I just got my first one today. So I've been playing around with that. The game stuff has all been improved across the board. Edge has been improved across the board. Cortana has been improved across the board. They're starting to roll out that Fluent design system. I mentioned the mail and calendar apps just got updated today. That's what that is. It's the the acrylic kind of translucency effect is now available. And basically it's kind of like a modern UX makeover, you know, for Windows. So it's, you know, again, it's not like there's some major new app. You know, Microsoft made a new something that no one's ever heard of per se. Windows is a mature operating system like the Mac, but it's just a lot of improvements kind of in every little nook and cranny of the operating system. It's actually a pretty great upgrade.
Yeah, I'm excited to get it on some of the higher end machines here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Skype machines are pretty, they just sit there, but, and they're older, so I'm having some issues with that, but that's to be expected on a couple year old machine, you know, on an older AMD. Let's talk about Andromeda. I've been getting messages. You know, I presented this question online I actually want to see what the poll says here. Let me go to my Twitter, twitter.com/AndrewZarian. I took a poll and I said, what should my next phone be? My next Android phone. And of course, I got a whole bunch of people that said, get an iPhone, right?
Yeah.
And then I got a lot of comments and a lot of people voted. Here we go. 61% out of 600 votes said, get the Pixel 2 XL. 21% said Samsung Galaxy S8, and 18% said the Note 8, which I'm very surprised by this voting, that it's so one-sided. It's very, very one-sided that, you know, all these people voted for the Pixel 2. If you guys have an opinion on this, go to my Twitter, Andrew Zarian on Twitter, twitter.com/AndrewZarian, and you could participate. But very interesting. Everybody's recommended the Pixel 2. But I did get a lot of people that were former Windows Phone fans or Windows Mobile, Windows whatever, Lumia fans or whatever it is. They were all hoping for this Andromeda. One, why? And two, what is it? And three, is it real?
I mean, I my sources tell me that Microsoft is working on this. It's been described in very vague terms. Brad has some more recent information that I'll kind of paraphrase my way around. But basically, it is a... Well, it depends on who you talk to. My sources describe it as a Microsoft device. Mary Jo Foley's sources have told her that this is something other companies will be able to make as well, that it's kind of like a new mobile platform or something. But my understanding is that it will be a Surface-branded device. Brad says it's going to be a courier-style device, potentially with two screens in a book-type format or one folding screen.
It's back.
What's that?
It's back. Bill Gates was working on that courier, right?
No, it was, what's that guy's name? Jay Allard, the guy behind Xbox and Zune.
I could have sworn it was like towards the end of Bill Gates's tenure.
Every year
I talk about this device, every year it becomes more further into the past. You know, at one point I'll say it was in 1994 that this device was initially conceptualized. So it's going to be a courier type device. Maybe.
I've not actually heard that. That's what Brad told me, based on his own sources. So
yeah.
I think what I've heard all along is that it's a new mobile experience. It's not a phone. It's going to have cellular capabilities. It sounds a lot like the always connected PC stuff that Microsoft's talking about around Windows and ARM as well as Intel. Yeah. It sounds like it could be a Courier / Surface Mini style, something note-taking for students, kind of highly mobile other form factor. And it kind of aligns with Microsoft's desire when it comes to hardware to innovate with new form factors and do something that's not just the same old that you see everywhere else.
So, so many questions here.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a reality for 2018?
I don't know. You know, everything that Microsoft makes, it has the potential to never happen. You know, that's the trouble. As of very recently, I was told they're still working on it. So, yeah. You know, we'll see. Surface Mini, remember, was canceled literally after they started building them. So this could fall apart at any time. But I think Microsoft has enough momentum with Surface to do something that isn't a phone, but is highly mobile and have it be fairly successful. I think there's a place for something like this. I was saying yesterday or the other day to Brad that, you know, it's odd to me all these years later, all these, Kindle ebook readers have never gone to color for some reason. I know color e-ink exists. How is it possible that you can't read, cookbooks or magazines in color or comic books and graphic novels, you know, whatever on an e-reader. And so there's always a place for people who want to read today. It's on a tablet. But if you think about a device that could run Windows apps and could be that reader, could be that note taker for someone in school, would be a great place for media, you know, on the go and everything. I mean, it's possible, you know, could make phone calls.
Yeah, it's very, I'm very curious about this device. I really am, because I had no idea so many people were anticipating this as the rebirth of Windows Phone. And I loved the platform. I thought it was really solid. I enjoyed using it, right? I really did. But the people that are hanging on to Windows Phone can't beat that many, right?
Yeah.
But yet again, a lot of people talking about this operating system. I was talking about Andromeda. Not to be confused with what Google was doing. I think there's a lot of confusion there, too. Listen, you know what, Paul? Why doesn't Microsoft just take Android, chop it up, make it its own operating system, and put all the Office applications, make Skype their iMessage platform like Apple does?
Yep.
Why wouldn't they do this? And make life simple for everybody else.
I go back and forth on this stuff so much. I don't know. I know there are people within Microsoft that have kind of called on them to do that. It'll release release an Android phone and put all your stuff on it, right? I don't. It's weird. Just yesterday, for example, Adobe had their big developer conference, a creative content conference, whatever it was, and they showed off a new UWP app for Windows, which is arguably the most professional looking UWP app, right? So it's a Windows 10 app. It's in the store. And, you know, I'm sorry, guys, but it looks terrible to me. Like, it's super just cartoonish looking in the way that all UWP apps kind of are. And if there were, if Microsoft was serious about phones and they wanted to do Android, I think the next logical step would be to port that platform, UWP, to Android. But I look at apps like that Adobe thing and I think, what's the point? Yeah. They're so terrible. Like, why bother? You know? So I don't know. I don't know.
Here's my idea here, okay?
Yep.
Yeah, Microsoft announced they're partnering with Android. They're going to have an Android device coming out next year at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You take the Lumia products, whatever you were putting out. You have your Surface, whatever you were possibly planning with a Surface device. You take the camera quality of the Lumia lineup, pop it in there. You have an ARM chipset. Already Windows runs on ARM, so you're going to be working with them, so you're familiar with it. You have Android, and then you have the launcher that makes it look like Windows Phone. You can make that launcher look like whatever you want it to look like. You provide Office apps on there for free. So here's an incentive to go over. You have Skype as your messaging service. Your phone call, everything is Skype, and it ties into your Windows-based computer.
Well, yeah, but so why would somebody buy that? I mean, the issue is always like, well, like, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, what was the point of Windows Phone, right? I mean, that could be the argument for that, too. I think it just...
If you want that stuff, you can do it right now. You could buy an Android or an iPhone, really, and make it happen right now. By the way, this seems unrelated, but may in fact be related. Samsung announced today that it's bringing Linux desktop to its DeX environment for the Samsung Galaxy S8, S8 Plus, and Note 8, right? This is the Continuum-style dock.
Yeah, that's very interesting, right? Why?
Well... Why? Right. So the reason they gave was that people who are developers will appreciate being able to bring around their device and then plug it into a dock and have the full desktop environment and be able to use Linux. Now, okay, there are probably 600 or 700 people that fall into that category in the whole world. But what's the crossover between Linux developer and Samsung enthusiast? It's got to be kind of small, right? So I'm going to speculate here right now publicly that I think this is about Windows. I think that this is how, because obviously you see DeX and you're like, this is Continuum. This is what Microsoft did on Windows Phone first. What if with Windows on ARM, because Samsung runs on ARM chips, what if they could bring a full Windows desktop environment to ARM? And then you could bring around your Samsung Galaxy S8 or whatever the thing is next year, or the Note 8 or whatever. And you could, what about that? And now you have this situation where Microsoft's partnering, which is, it likes to do, it prefers partnering, but it provides all of the benefits of Continuum with none of the downsides of it being on Windows Phone, because now you have the most popular apps platform on mobile, Android, with desktop. There's no compromise. You know, Continuum was kind of a joke because it was a terrible mobile apps platform, and it was a terrible app platform for the desktop because it was just UWP apps. So just pure speculation. I don't know anything about it, but I look at that and I think, like, Linux, like, what, like, that's going to, there's going to be a handful of people that want that. What if it was Windows? You know,
I think it's very interesting. Again, this goes back to, we are in a very transitional period when it comes to the way that computing is done and the way that we're using it. You know, every couple of years we get this renaissance of devices and technology and improvement. You know, we hit this, it wasn't evolutionary. It was, what is the word I'm looking for, Paul? that phrase that everybody uses for the iPhone. It's evolutionary, not
revolutionary.
Revolutionary. There you go. Right. The iPhone was revolutionary to mobile phone.
It absolutely
changed everything. Yeah. Where you know, you and I would have Trios and we would have Blackberries, but most people were doing stupid flip phones. And it changed everything. And now everybody's walking around with a smartphone. We are entering that next stage. And it's with the recent decline in, you know, public approval of Apple products.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft, you know, changing their entire concept of what they are. They're a hardware company now. They're a software company. They're a services company.
Sure.
They're offering all these things. Google is now a hardware company. They're making they're an appliance company, essentially.
Yeah.
They're making everything. They're making these little Google Google Home devices. They're making Chromecast. They're making phones. I mean, they're not making the phones, but they're, you know, they have Google brand of phones.
They say they are.
but
you're
not.
Right. They're not.
But
yep.
It's a very different playing field than it was even 5 years ago. So
yeah,
we have to look this and say, okay, Microsoft is exiting the phone market right now.
Has exited.
A couple years ago, they exited. They exited when they entered. But I can't imagine that that's going to be their initiative for the next 5 years. That they're out of the mobile. You know, they're going to make Surface devices, and they're going to continue with this, but they're out of the phone market. I once you get that itch, they're going to be back.
So I agree with you that they will. They'll always have mobile stuff, but I also think that the ship has sailed on phones. And one of the ways you can get into that market is through partnering, right? And so it's interesting what happens when competitors get together because of other competitors, right? So Microsoft has now partnered with Amazon in two areas related to AI and machine learning and personal digital assistants. These guys compete with each other. So why are they doing that? Well, because even though Amazon right now is like number one actually in both of those markets, Google is coming on really strong, and there's always Apple to contend with. I think they're always going to be technically inferior, but they have a big installed base.
Yeah.
And so this is a way for them to thwart Google together. They both need to do that so they can work together. You know, Samsung has a big enemy out there, and that enemy is Apple. How can you compete with Apple? Well, you can compete with Apple in the phone business the same way that Microsoft does in the PC business, which is to really differentiate your products and just do those things that Apple will never do. And in the PC space with the Mac, they're never going to add touch to the screen. They're just never going to do it. They're so weird about it. They walk around the edges of it. They add that stupid touch strip thing. They make the trackpad, you know, 12 inches wide so it can do gestures. They'll do everything but add touch.
Yeah.
And on the iPhone, it's the same thing. You know, Apple talks about post-PC world and convergence and everything, but their phones are phones. They're just phones. And I'm not saying never, but, you know, to date, they've shown a real reluctance to turning that thing into a real computer. Even the iPad Pro, which is, you know, getting a little more pro with iOS 11, still has its feet kind of firmly in the consumer consumption part of the fence. It's just not there. And so I think Samsung with DeX today, a little bit, first steps, Bixby, you know, they're competing with Google and Amazon. And then with DeX in the future, maybe with Windows, right? That could be that Microsoft and Samsung's play on the phone to make those things more like PCs.
Yeah.
I'm just completely speculating here. But it just seems to make so much sense.
No, it absolutely does. I'm curious to see where this goes. We have a couple minutes left, but we do have a lot to talk about here. But before I go on, I want to remind everybody, if you enjoy watching the show, if you enjoy listening to the show, I know I could proudly say, Paul, tens of thousands of people.
tens of thousands of people,
Paul, about 28,000 people per week download the show. Most of them are not human, but about 20 something thousand people download the show a week. And that's amazing. And if you enjoy the show and you want us to continue doing this, and you know, life, it gets very difficult, but we come here every single week or most weeks, and we try to provide you with entertaining content and discussions for you to think, for you to discuss. If you enjoy this, you can fund our Patreon by going to patreon.com/whatthetech for as little as $1 per week. You can fund us, and it really helps us around here. Things have fallen apart, as you know, here at the studio. I mean, it's really the last year. You know when they say, like, once technology, I genuinely believe that technology is made not to last, but to be disposed and to be fixed and replaced. Well, we're at that point here at GFQ, where everything that was bought around the same time has kind of fallen apart, including cameras, including lights, including computers. So your Patreon funds support everything that goes on behind the scenes here. You go to patreon.com/whatthetech. You can fund us there. Also, Paul, I want to take a moment and talk about Therat Premium. People are a big fan of Therat Premium. I know you're a huge fan of Therat Premium.
I am a huge fan. That's
huge
true.
Fan. What's your Therat number? Do you have a Therat Premium number? Are you one?
I do. I'm number one.
Do you know what mine is?
No.
I think I'm 16 or 22.
16, yeah.
I can't remember which one.
Seems like it would be a high number.
By the way, I've locked myself out of my Therat account. I got to talk to someone. Right. I've totally locked myself out of it because I tried to log in multiple times on a new device, and it told me you are now locked out and I need to contact web admin. So I could easily reset my password, but I want to go do the hard way and manually talk to you guys and do it. But guys, a lot of great content on there. Paul and Brad do a daily podcast on their daily update video of all the things happening on Therat.com, all the things that they're discussing. Today, you guys did a long show, about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you went a while today. And I was here listening. Annoying. I was in the office. I was listening to it. Guys, you could go there. You could sign up. $7 a month, as little as $7 a month. Right? Am I right on that?
Yep, that's right.
$7. Look at that. I'm not even looking at a copy here. $7 a month. You could join the premium service. You get access to the daily podcast, which Brad and Paul do, and it's great.
Nice.
Premium forums, Therat daily newsletter, premium comments, enhanced user experience, full access to all the content on Therat.com. And it helps Paul out. Listen, kid in college, another one on the way.
I know. What a nightmare.
Brad's got a kid. He's having car problems today. He had to send his car to the mechanic. So all this goes a long way, and it's phenomenal content. And I really, Therat.com has become it's my favorite, not because we work together, but because I was a fan of the site before, but it's really become my front page, daily front page for technology news. And you get an honest, unbiased, not paid for opinion when you go to Therat.com. And that's my endorsement. And not paid for, unbiased opinion. Everybody go to Therat.com. What else do we have here? We have a couple more things. I want to pick the right one. We talked about the battery life. We talked about Andromeda. Mm-hmm. Fall preview. The iPhone conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, pre-orders for the iPhone X. We kind of touched on this on the beginning of the show. iPhone 8 sales, depending on who you ask and what blog is writing it, will either say are great and as expected, or they will say, man, this one sucked. Not because the iPhone 8 is a terrible device or anything like that. Not blaming the iPhone.
It's frozen.
Oh, no, you are frozen. Oh, look at that. You know what? It's the Apple people. They're doing this. Did you plug anything in? It's that Windows. What did you do? What were you doing before the show? Can you hear me or no? No, he cannot even hear me. It's definitely not me because I could connect to that machine. Let's see. Let's see if I could bring Paul back. Let's see if I could revive Paul from the misery of being frozen. There you go. You're back.
So weird.
Yeah, I think it's something on your end. Whatever. Are you running a beta or no?
Am I what now?
Are you running a insider build or no?
Nope. It could be any. That could be my internet connection. I have no idea.
Well, you're back now. Did you hear any of what I was saying?
No, you started on the iPhone topic and said something about how it wasn't selling as well as expected, and then it froze.
Someone said Paul was in stealth mode in Call of Duty.
Stealth mode?
Yeah, that's what
you mean, like now?
Yeah, right.
Like
now,
while we're doing
this
the
very
podcast.
Moment. Yeah, this very moment.
Yeah, no, that's nope. That's not it.
So people are saying that this was. Depending on what blog you're reading, it's the worst selling in recent times, and iPhone 7 is outside. Not because it's a bad device. The iPhone 8 is not a bad device.
It's fine. It's a great Windows or iPhone 7S.
Yeah, it's a great iPhone 7S. It's exactly what I expected from this. But the iPhone 10, because 9 is a dirty number in technology.
Yeah.
Apparently, nobody wants a 9th gen device. You know, I hope I for God, if you listen, if you are there, I really want Samsung to skip the 9 number and just go to 10.
That would be amazing.
Just make this
and then
a
use
thing.
The letter X.
Just use the letter X, please. Someone, the tech gods.
So
so they
Here's the problem.
Is it that people are waiting for an iPhone 10, or they just don't care to upgrade to an iPhone 8 because it's not
the iPhone? I want to see the reviews, right? There are two choices ahead of me now. I'm not switching back to the iPhone for sure. But I may get an iPhone, right? Because I need to make, you know, I will always have an iPhone as a secondary phone. But, you know, for the first time in a very long time, I may just stick with the existing phone that I already have. Like, I don't really feel like a huge need to upgrade. With the iPhone 8, for sure, I feel zero need to upgrade to that. There's no huge benefit to that at all. The problem I have with the iPhone 10 is that, aside from the design, which I think is really compromised with that stupid notch at the top, and it's was really something that it was so easily avoidable, and the fact that you have to use your face to sign into it, right, which I think is going to be a terrible mistake, and we'll see, is that fundamentally that phone, whatever it looks like, is the same as the iPhone 8. It's all of it's the same.
It's,
you know,
smaller.
The camera, the processor, the, you know, I know. Yeah, the form factor is a little different.
But wait, no. The camera is not exactly the same though, right?
Well, not exactly the same, but it is basically exactly the same. Like, it's almost exactly the same. You know, like when you go from the iPhone 8 to the 8 Plus, you get that portrait light mode or whatever. But when you go from the iPhone 8 Plus to the 10, what do you get? What's different about it?
It's smaller.
The camera.
Oh, the camera? What was the difference? God, someone tell me in the chat room. It was a minor difference.
Yeah, if there is a difference, it's minor. That's my point. Like, I don't really, this isn't some revolution, you know? And I feel like, especially first gen with the screen being the only way to sign in, or the camera being the only way to sign in. Well, not the only way, but the primary way to sign in. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. You know, like, it's always disappointing when you have to go back to the pin, right? That was kind of the issue I had with the Samsung Galaxy S8 because of the fingerprint location. Okay, it was like I found myself using the pin a lot.
Got it. Here it is. The camera difference here. Mm-hmm. They're both 12 megapixel wide angle lenses, yep. F1.8, mm-hmm. OSI plus 12 megapixel telephoto lens, where on the iPhone 8 Plus, it's a 2.8 and it's a 2.4 OSI.
So you're saying they're both dual camera, but the iPhone 10 has a wide, or lets in more light, essentially.
Yeah, lets in more light.
Okay.
Would be enough for a lot of people.
We're frozen again. God damn it.
It's all right. We'll keep you like that. Front facing camera's the same. The quality is the same. Hmm. It just doesn't have Touch ID.
Curious.
It has Face ID. It's lighter than the iPhone 8 Plus. This is a UK site, so it's in grams. It's 202 grams for the iPhone 8 Plus, and it's 174 grams for the iPhone 10. Paul's freezing, so he probably can't hear this, and he'll come back in a second here. But it's minor, minor. Here you go. You're back, right?
Yep.
So
it is minor. But we'll see.
The weight,
right?
It's a little lighter. It's a little smaller. That's about
obviously
it.
Obviously, the phone is different. I mean, the body's different. I'm not, that stuff's whatever. I do feel like the design of the iPhone 8 Plus is kind of old fashioned right now, you know, with the forehead and the chin. You know,
OIS, by the way. I said OSI. OIS.
OIS, yeah. The non XL Pixel has the same kind of old fashionedness to it, right? This is something we'll get by, you know, like these things are going to change, but I don't know. Buying into a first gen,
it's hard. I know.
I don't know. I just don't trust it.
Listen, here's a great example. Okay. If you're on the fence about first gen devices and you're convincing yourself that it's okay, mm-hmm. think of the original iPad, the first iPad. I didn't think of the iPad 2.
Oh, it's okay? A world of change.
How many iPad 2s are still out there? Yeah. Many. Many, many, many iPad 2s. How many original iPads are out there?
Yeah, zero.
Zero.
Yep.
I have not seen one in,
I mean,
I want to
by
say,
the way, obviously they exist. I mean, but yeah, they don't run, they're on some ancient version of the OS. They don't run the modern apps. They're underpowered. They're thick and heavy. And I've locked up again. Fantastic.
It's okay. Yeah, we'll put it on my. You know, that's the worst face to be locked up on, too. Look at that. Look at that.
All right.
That's the misery of iOS for you. But you could hear me. Or no, he can't. He cannot hear me. We have 1 minute left here. Hopefully, Paul will be back to say goodbye to all of you. There you are. Are you back? Hey, there you are.
All right, so I got to go.
Okay, I know. You got to go.
But, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on. But, it looks like my speeds are fine. I'm getting tremendous download speeds.
Listen, if everything fails, just format and start over. People get so annoyed when I recommend that as a tech fix. So
just pave it from
obviously,
space.
Obviously, next week, I think we're approaching a milestone here for the show.
What's that?
As far as dates. Is this like a big show coming up?
I don't. What do you mean?
Somebody said that we're approaching like a big show. Oh, we're approaching episode 400.
Oh,
we're at episode. This is episode 372. So oh, I think for episode 400. So we're talking about
next year.
Next year. We should do a. We have never done a show together in person.
That's true.
Ever.
We should plan to do that.
So maybe,
it is a lot easier for me to get to New York than it used to be.
It really is. So you know what we should do? What if we did like a Kickstarter?
A Kickstarter?
Yes.
Kickstarter should be bring Andrew to the Lehigh Valley.
No, what I was thinking
we could
do. You
come down in your overalls with your corn hat or whatever
in.
It is.
I'm in. I would fit so well there with this.
You could come here for the Harvest Festival.
You know what? Do not say it in front of Jess because she will say, you know what, Andrew? We're going to a Harvest Festival. Oh, we'll
be like
go.
Green Acres.
How far are
you? Actually, I got to roll, by the way.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
You go. All right. Paul, everybody go to throwout.com. Follow Paul. I'll end the show and I'll do the bonus show. But let's plan a live show at Rattle and Hum. Let's figure that out. So if you're watching this live, bye, Paul. If you're watching this live, you can stay tuned and continue watching. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're watching this podcast, anywhere podcasts are available. Episode 400, the bad request episode. You know what? We will do viewer questions on that episode. What about Mary Jo Foley as a special guest? Absolutely. I would love to. I see Mary Jo Foley every week at this point. Do I get to come? You know what? Let's, Suncast, start doing this, okay? Put together a Kickstarter for What the Tech to do a live show where we could fund it. People could fund it. They come to Rattle and Hum, and we could fund you to come. We could fund Paul. We could put together this nice big party at Rattle and Hum. It doesn't have to be for episode 400. It could be for, you know, probably after the new year. Yeah. So, you know, maybe how many weeks away are we from episode 400? 30? Are we 30 weeks away? When does that become? What, 30 weeks from now? What are we talking about? A Rattle and Hum means a trip to New York for me. Well, you know what? Great time to come. Guys, go to our website, gfknetwork.com. You can subscribe to the podcast where everywhere podcasts are available. You could also follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. I will be continuing and doing a bonus show. If you're watching this live, stay tuned. I'm going to continue the bonus show. If not, go to patreon.com/whatthetech. Fund us there. $1. All you need to do is fund us $1 per week, and you get access to the bonus shows, and you help us out. Until next time, take care.